Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, it's good to be with you. And I feel like the young pastor who went to fill in the pulpit at a church that he didn't know. So there was this young man, and he went to this church. And before he was going to go to the church, he said, you know, I'll write to my mentor and say, what do I do? I don't know the people. They don't know me. What should I do? You know, what would be an effective way to minister? And so he wrote this letter, and he received the letter back from his mentor, who was long in the faith and very experienced and wise. And as he opened the letter, there were just these very simple words of advice. Speak about God and speak about 20 minutes. I think I actually have 30, but we won't push that. But it's good to be here with you. And I want to talk about stewarding your 20s wisely. And in many ways, it's a very critical age. And as Bill has mentioned, my tie is not only through First Pres, but I used to take extension courses from CIU when I was considering going on the mission field. And this is how the learning was delivered. Anybody not know what this is? Pretty soon it'll be a thing of the past. They used to mail out cassette tapes and a booklet, and you would fill in and send in the exam. And it was very hard in some sense because it wasn't as real time. But I'm very appreciative of CIU's commitment both to the Word and to the work of missions. Well, let me give you a little bit of background. Missionaries and missions are an integral part of my family heritage, part of my Christian heritage. In fact, my father's father came over to the U.S. as a 13-year-old. His mother was so poor that she said, go live with an uncle who's running a grocery store in Portland, Oregon. Can you imagine leaving a country as a 13-year-old to live in a foreign country? He came over, he had to chop off his long ponytail because he was dressed very traditionally, but he eventually became a Christian. He was actually exposed to Christians who were very kind to him as opposed to those who bullied him. And even though the faith didn't really take seed until he went back to China as an adult, he was marvelously converted. He was a businessman, and after his conversion, he went back and repaid everyone he had cheated. And he was so committed to seeing the work of evangelism that he started the first Christian radio station in China. And he also encountered D.E. Host. D.E. Host is the successor to Hudson Taylor. And he ran into a number of CIM missionaries, China Inland Missionaries, who dressed the part, who lived at the level of the people that they're ministering to, and that had a powerful witness to him. And so we are very thankful for missionaries and missions. And on my mother's side, faith goes back to my great-grandparents. They were villagers in China, and there were some medical missionaries whose names are now known only to God. And through their ministry, both in deed and in word, they became Christians. And then my grandfather became a church planter and did national youth work in China. So we are deeply indebted, and I stand in front of you because somebody went. Somebody believed the gospel and obeyed the call of Jesus to take it to the uttermost ends of the earth. Well, personally, I was born here in the U.S., and I was educated as an engineer and worked in business for 10 years. When I worked for a computer company, one of the things that we built were graphics post-processors. Now, some of you are gamers and know about graphics cards. Well, at that time, computers were so primitive that you actually had to buy a special box. And some of these boxes were used for the CGI effects in the Star Wars movies. But they were very expensive, but it was a great experience, and I took my faith into the workplace. I was a manager. I got to lead people. I got to deal with all the challenges of being a Christian in a secular work environment. Well, God had his ways, and I moved into vocational ministry. I was a pastoral intern, and then went to get formal theological training, and then I was ordained a church planter in Honolulu, Hawaii. Anybody want to go to Hawaii? Come February, you want to? Well, it was part of the wave of urban church planters that our denomination was sending, and so we dropped in with my family, and God did a marvelous work there again through His Word and through His Spirit. I had to give my supporters this picture to show them that I was really working. And see, I'm studying my Greek and Hebrew as I'm out on the wave. So actually, this surfboard was given to me by one of the first people who attended the church. He was a cocaine addict. And he said, you know, I'm interested in talking. Why don't you come to my church? And his church was the Surf Break. And so we spent a lot of time talking, and he began to show signs of faith, and he had to move on because he was with a bad crowd, but he gave me his surfboard. And so whenever I look at that surfboard, you used to have it, I would be remembered to pray for him. And so we saw God do a marvelous work in Honolulu. Well, after that, 13 years in Honolulu, I went back into vocational, the business world. And I went to the Middle East and worked for a firm there and got to be immersed in a Muslim culture as a businessman. And it was very interesting to see that kind of culture and to see their worldview up close, not through a newspaper or not through a website, but to actually live and be immersed in it. And from there, went to Singapore for a couple years and then Jakarta for a couple years. Anybody ever see the movie Crazy Rich Asians? Okay, I worked for several of them. This is a picture. The oldest son got married, and they had 9,000 people at the wedding. They rented out the International Convention Center in the city, and there were so many important people that this was the security detail, part of the security detail. So. There are crazy rich Asians out there. But after that, we did that, Middle East, Singapore, Jakarta, and then we repatriated to Augusta in 2017, and I'm working at First Pres right now. So it's been a delight, and to see God move between different worlds, it's all His world, but to move from a business and vocational aspect into vocational ministry and back and forth. And I'm very thankful for the preparation and opportunity to speak to you today. Well, let me jump in and talk first about wisdom. Very often, we don't talk too much in our American church about wisdom, but there is an area where God wants to live life beyond moral decisions. So here's a verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 26, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. Okay, so it's saying, you know, don't get into an argument because you'll just get dragged down, right? Well, that's 26:4. 26:5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. What's going on there? What the Bible is saying, it says, the way you answer actually depends. It depends on, you know, what your situation is, and there is no clear black and white. Sometimes you may want to call somebody out, and another time you may just want to walk away. And that's a matter of wisdom. It's not a moral issue. It's a matter of asking God for wisdom. What is the right thing, the most God-honoring thing to do in this situation? So I want to go a little bit and see how we apply wisdom, because wisdom also drives our values. The world will speak values into your life, but the Bible actually, through the book of Proverbs, helps us to shape our values. So for example, in Proverbs it says, better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. It's saying, be content with a harmony in your house. You can have all the riches, but if you have strife, you've got misshaped values. Well, think about what the world says. You know, they said, you know, go get rich, and who cares what happens at home? The Bible gives us some values, and I encourage you to go through Proverbs, and you'll see better is than, and there are a number of comparisons that help us to understand how God wants us to shape our values. Because our values determine what we decide and how we decide what's important. Well, not only values, but it also gives warnings. It says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. So be very careful of your friends. Be very careful of the company you keep. And especially as you grow and go out from here, your friends and your peer group will actually have more influence than your parents. So choose wisely. And this is not just friends in person, but also on the internet. Your websites that you frequent, the social media sites that you feed on, they can be angry. And you can be very much drawn into that kind of mindset. So be very careful. So wisdom gives us warnings, it gives us values. And I want to use this verse for your great challenge and opportunity. Psalm 90, verse 12. This is a psalm of Moses. He talks about the greatness of God, and then he lands on this verse. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. We've got to think about life. We're not going to live forever. And life has meaning because we live it in the context of God who is real and a God who will judge. And judgment's a good thing because it means the small things matter. So often we just say, well, judgment's on the bad things, but actually it means the small hidden things matter. Character matters. And so what we have here is this psalm that Moses opens up that we may get a heart of wisdom. Do you notice that he doesn't say that we may make a huge impact? That we may have a comfortable life? You see, he's speaking about an issue of the heart and how we live in this world and how we live before God. So that's your great challenge and opportunity as 20-year-olds. You might think that, well, you know, I've got a lot of time coming. I'll tell you, the 30s will hit you before you know it. The 40s, the 50s. It may seem like a long ways away, but think about it. So let's talk about wisdom and why it's important to think about it in your 20s. You're going to make some very significant choices in your 20s. A lot of these choices are going to center around your vocation, your work. And also going to center around family, who you will choose to create a family with. One person has said your family, your spouse, it's like running a three-legged race all the way until the end. So you need wisdom. You need that area, that wisdom that comes from God in these areas because they will shape your life in your 30s and 40s. I think if you ask anybody who's in their 30s and 40s, you know, what were the significant decisions that you made in your 20s that got you to where you are, you'll find that they'll reflect back and say, yeah, my 20s were significant. So this is the great challenge for you as you live out the Christian life to make wise choices about vocation, getting experience, and creating a family. Well, let's talk about the voices and your choices. There are many voices out there about how you should live your 20s, and you're going to face many choices. And much of the chatter, much of the voice are in social media. And again, this is something that's more attuned to your generation. But again, you have to be very careful and discerning. Because there are a lot of things out there that may sound true, but are not truthful. There are a lot of things that sound good, but may not be wise. And some of your decisions that you make now will have consequences not only for tomorrow or the next day, but perhaps a decade from now, 2 decades from now. And so this is why it's very important to be very discerning about the voices in your life as you make choices about your life. So Let's take a look. What are the perspectives? What are some of the voices out there, and what are they saying? Well, I'm going to break this down into two columns: what the culture says and the biblical response. The culture says, well, just wait for the right opportunity or the right person to come along. You know, just go with the flow. You know, you've got time and, you know, you can make these small decisions. They don't have consequence. But actually, the Bible says, actively seek God's calling and steward God's gifts. You are to be actively seeking God's calling. And I'm going to double click on that in a few minutes. And steward God's gift. You see how that first one actually is a trap and a dead end? You'll waste time, time that you'll never get back. And so as you actively seek God's calling upon your life, you are not your own, but that you also want to steward God's gift. This opportunity that you have here at CIU is a gift. The Bible study and exposure that you have, you would be, you know, in many parts of the world, you are so far ahead of what is out there. And I do hope that in some ways you get a chance to travel and see more desolate places of the Christendom, if not the, you know, where the unreached are. But steward this gift well. There are people who have sacrificed, as Bill mentioned, who've prayed for this many years ago. And you stand on their shoulders. So steward this well. So the world says, wait for the right opportunity. Bible says, actively seek God's call and claim upon your life. What does the Bible, the culture say? It said life should be easy, right? It said if it's hard, I'm going to quit and find something else. If I don't like this job, I'll quit and find something else. Well, the Bible says we live in a fallen world. And faith and faithfulness in work and labor honors God. Let me say this. There is no perfect job. There is no perfect job. I tell people, if you find a job where you find satisfaction 60 to 70% of the time, that's a great job. The effect of the fall is to affect our work. You will have bad bosses. You will be a bad boss. You will see injustice in the workplace. That's the effect of the fall. And it is a fool's errand to say, I'm going to try and find the perfect job that suits me. The other way that this is expressed is find your passion, right? Well, that's very self-serving. So we'll double-click on that when we get to calling. But again, life should be easy is the message that the world sends. God says, be faithful in the small things. Be faithful in the small things, and I will give you larger things. Invest in your 20s in showing up for work on time. Invest in your 20s in understanding and asking people why they do things the way they do. And so life should be easy, but the Bible says life is hard. We live in a fallen world. Well, let me talk about a third message that's out there. Enjoy your 20s and get serious about life in your 30s. I don't know, you may hear that and may hear it in different forms, but they said, well, you've got time. You've got time. And you can get serious about life later on. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Luther said it at his first of his 95 theses. All of life is worship. All of life is worship. You need to be actively engaged with the Great Commission now. It's not like, I'll get to that. You are called to be part of the Great Commission now. And so as we think about what the world says, you know, just go have fun, you'll make up for lost time. Actually, what you are doing is building very bad patterns. And you'll never get that time back. So these are contrasting messages, aren't they? And we need to let the Word of God inform the way that we discern what is true, what is wise, and shut down some of these falsehoods that come out They're in there. They're out there. They may see them in different forms. You may see them in advertising. You may see them in movies. You may see them in music. So be very, very careful. Well, let's talk about calling. We've talked about calling, and let me use three C's to describe one way to think about calling. God has a call upon your life. The first C I'd like to talk about is the internal call. That is subjective. That is something that you may feel, and it is driven by Bible and the prayer and prayer. I remember when I was thinking about going to an urban church plant and just looking at the demographics of Honolulu and saying, you know, there's just a strong sense that these are my people. These are the people that I need to minister to. That's the internal call. No one can argue with that. And so, but that only comes as you are open to God. And it means also being discerning, and that brings us to the next C, to have counsel. That's the external validation of your call. I could have said, well, I feel a call to Honolulu because you can't spell suffering without surfing. But I had people who were giving me checks and balances. I went through assessments. You know, I had external people looking at it and saying, you know, well, you know, why? How? And that leads me to say, encourage you, look for mentors. These are different from disciples. Mentors perhaps can help you through a particular decision or set of circumstances. And they may have experience, they should be very godly. But again, to have mentors in your life. And also to take feedback. The only way that you're going to grow is to get feedback. And I'm going to say that there's a difference between affirmation and feedback. Many of us long for affirmation, and we need that. But feedback will say, you know, I'm not quite sure. Or maybe you should think about that, or maybe you should do it differently. And our natural tendency as prideful people is to say, no, you don't understand, you don't get it. But you will only grow as you get feedback. And so be open to feedback, don't be defensive, and see it as a grace from God to help you grow and to perhaps point out a blind spot. How many of you have ever had a friend and you're eating salad and they have a piece of salad between their teeth? Wouldn't you like to, what is it kind of awkward sometimes? Sometimes giving feedback's as hard for the person giving the feedback as it is for taking the feedback. But look for feedback. Ask yourself, you know, how am I doing? Or ask somebody to say, how am I doing? You will only grow because of that. Your pride will stunt your growth. Finally, competencies. A great part of God's calling will come in your gifts and skills and your experiences. So God has gifted you with at least one spiritual gift, and he's given you skills. And he'll move you through opportunities so that you gain experience and see how those actually play out, what you enjoy, what you're good at. And you see why, if you're going to say, oh, I've got the 20s, I'll get serious in life in the 30s, you've actually wasted learning experiences that are very valuable and set a foundation for your 30s and beyond. So think about calling. The call, which is internal, counsel, which is external, and competencies. How has God gifted you? How is God using you? Maybe you're an organizer. Maybe you're a starter. Maybe you're a caregiver. And how God repeatedly moves you into those spaces and you see people respond and situations flourish. All right. I have just a few odds and ends, and this is going to be like Proverbs. Proverbs, if you read through Proverbs towards the end, it's like, oh, wow, you know, he's got all these topics all over. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you. First of all, are there only 9 commandments? How many commandments are there? 10. Okay, which one might we neglect? The Sabbath, okay? So culture has moved to schedule many things on Sundays. And there are going to be a wide range of views on what it means to observe the Sabbath, but I want to challenge you that the Sabbath is a God's gift to you. And it will also be a tremendous witness to the watching world if you say, I can't do that because I got to go to church. This day is set apart for the Lord. It may be awkward, but it will send a signal that God takes priority. One of the things that when I was in business, sometimes we would have a project that wouldn't run over the weekend, and we'd have to run on a Sunday. But I told my job manager, I'm going to go to church first, and you can have the rest of the day. And in a sense, while I could not observe the Sabbath in a way that I could have at home, I was observing the Sabbath and bearing witness that God was more important. And when you get to a position where you can schedule meetings and projects, try not to schedule them on a Monday. Why? Because if you schedule on a Monday, people are going to be working through Sunday to get the job done. If you can schedule your project and time allows, try and schedule on a Tuesday for the review, for the presentation, so that you are extending that grace to others. Okay, a dream is a very bad plan. All right, many of us talk about we have this dream. Well, we also need to have plans. We also need to think about what does it take to get to that dream? Dreams just don't happen. A dream is a very, very bad plan. Now, you don't hold God hostage to your plans, but so you can look up Proverbs 16:9 later, but you know, again, God is a God of order, and he wants you to think through, what do I need to do to get there? What investment of time, opportunities, and to begin to plan out your life. Beware of the tyranny of the urgent and the likes. Everything these days seems like hyper time sensitive. I need to respond to this text. I need to do this. I need to do that. Well, the urgent things might not be the important things. Paul Little wrote a very little helpful booklet. But also beware the tyranny of the likes. How many of you count the number of likes that you have on a post or have been embarrassed because somebody said, why didn't you like my post? Well, you know, that's a trap. I'm not saying that likes are bad, but to be feeding your soul on likes or to being very careful to understand what the likes actually mean. And be prepared to be downwardly mobile. God may call you to a place to give up and to live in a set of circumstances very different from where you are today. The budget. There's a value in budgeting, where your money goes and how you spend it, and to beware the trap of materialism. I had tried to recruit a church planter to work on a neighbor island in Hawaii, and we got very, very far along, except when we got to the idea of moving his household. You see, his wife liked to collect American colonial furniture, and houses are very small in Hawaii. In fact, we had our family lived in a 1,200 square feet, which was for all of us, and also the church office, 1.5 baths. And I told this man, I can't justify paying to bring all this furniture out, and it's going to be eaten by the termites. So hold things loosely. Beware the trap of materialism, and be prepared to be downwardly mobile. Jesus was downwardly mobile, wasn't he? And consider a cycle of topics for your prayers. I don't know about you. Some of you are probably very diligent in keeping prayer journals and are just going to just be prayer warriors and giants in the years to come. I'm not like that. So I need this system. Let me just suggest this. On Sunday, my family and I, we pray for other countries. On Monday, we pray for missionaries. That's our focus. And of course, we have our regular needs. Tuesday, we pray for our future. And in fact, after my wife and I got married, she and I on each Tuesday would skip lunch, kind of a small fast, and we would pray for the future of our marriage and how God would use our marriage. And I encourage you to think about praying and asking God, what do you want to do with my life? Wednesday, we pray for friends. Thursday, we pray for government. Friday, for family. And Saturday, church and teachers. Saturday gets us keyed in for church life on Sunday. So just a suggestion here, and I think the slides will be available. We'll make sure that they can be. And then let me close with this. Viscount Slim was a general in the Second World War, British general, and he said this, an imitation is never a masterpiece. An imitation is never a masterpiece. Men and women, God doesn't make imitations. He only makes masterpieces. You are going to be called to do things that no one else can do or should do. And we go back to Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I do pray that perhaps this would be a challenge to you, encouragement to you, that you would grow and steward your 20s well so that you might be faithful to God and his call upon your life. Let me close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you that you call us to ask for wisdom from above. Father, there is earthly wisdom. There is foolishness. There is so much around us that would keep us from knowing God, from loving God, and hearing his call. I pray for each person here, you would protect them, give them discernment, give them good counsel. May they be wise men and women whom the devil fears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.